RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales, thanks for joining me again this Sunday for more weird and strange old-time radio. We'll hear this time from The Haunting Hour, a series that originally aired between March of 1945 to May of 1946, though it ran in syndication a few times after that. The story we'll hear is The Two Mr. Brants. I have a specific air date for this episode, but I hope you enjoy it. Here's The Haunting Hour.
Telephone rings. An ordinary occurrence that happens millions of times every day. But as you pause in your activities to answer the intruding call, do you ever give consideration to the message which waits only for your lifting of the receiver to become a part of your life? Do you hesitate, fearing to hear the unknown words which may be the beginning of a web which will entangle and lead you into strange, mysterious adventures? Adventures which will haunt your memories forever? Probably not. Instead, you unhesitatingly, and perhaps with slight irritation, pick up the receiver and say, hello? Hello?
Hello, George. This is Edgar.
Oh, hello, Edgar. You nearly missed connections. I was just closing the office when the phone rang.
Well, I had to call you now. You had to be the first to know.
Know what?
You better sit down in a good, substantial chair, old man.
I am, but... what's so startling?
I'm getting married, George.
Married?
Sure. Don't you think it's about time?
Well, yes, but what's all so sudden? I never had the faintest idea.
Well, that's the way love is. Comes on you suddenly. If you take that heart of yours off ice, maybe you'd find out.
Oh, congratulations, Edgar. Who's the lucky one?
Well, I am. But if you mean whom am I marrying, it's Julia Kramer.
Julia Kramer?
Uh-huh.
The new secretary you hired only a few months ago?
That's right.
I thought she was engaged to some fella here in Chicago.
No, that's the wrong impression I got. She had been going somewhat steady with a man there, but she wasn't engaged to him. She came down here to get away from him when she found he was working a little on the shady side of the law.
Well, when is the wedding?
Well, that's what I called about, George. It's going to be Saturday afternoon, and you've got to come.
Oh, now how am I going to get transportation?
That's all arranged. I've reserved a room for you at the Claremont, and I've already reserved two seats on the plane leaving Chicago Friday night.
Two seats?
One for you and one for Julia's brother, Lawrence.
A brother?
Julia doesn't know he's coming. It's part of a surprise. I'm giving him a job here in our Dayton office.
Edgar, are you out of your mind? Hiring a man that's been convicted twice of forging checks?
Well, she didn't forge the checks, George. He was just a stooge for someone else. He was only convicted of passing bad checks. Julia says it's all because of his association there in Chicago. And if he could get away from them, why, he'd be all right. So I'm going to give him a chance.
Well, you're the one that's running that office. It's your headache.
Sure. You've got nothing to worry about, George. Nothing's going to happen to you.
Not if I can help it. Look, I'll give you a buzz when I get in Friday night.
Fine, do that. Oh, incidentally, better pick up your plane reservations when you leave the office.
Right.
Julia's really a swell girl, George, believe me. But you'll find out when you meet her. So long.
So long, Benedict.
This is my seat, pardon me.
Oh, are you Lawrence Kramer?
Oh, Lawrence Kramer? Never heard of him. Cassidy's my name, Alex Cassidy. That's my seat next to the window.
Oh, pardon me, there must be a mistake. I'm sure this seat belongs to Lawrence Kramer.
Take a look at my ticket. It says this is my seat to Dayton.
Dayton? Well, that's where Lawrence is going. We're supposed to be together. Oh, no, there really must be some mistake.
There's no mistake.
Pardon me, are you Mr. George Brandt?
Why, yes.
Well, I'm Lawrence Kramer.
Well, what are you doing sitting behind me? Surely Edgar reserved our seats together.
Well, maybe Mr. Thompson couldn't get two seats together.
Yeah, that's probably it. Oh, well, it's a short distance to Dayton, and inasmuch as we're all going there, we might as well be friendly, eh?
Yeah. It's funny that Edgar didn't say something about our seats not being together.
Well, probably slipped this Edgar's mind, whoever he is. I know that's the way I am, always forgetting to tell people things. Gets me into some odd circumstances sometimes, too. But I always manage to talk my way out.
Well,
where are
you?
Well, Brandt, guess I'll be leaving you two here. I've got a little business to attend to in the administration building before I go into town.
Yes, all right, Miss Cassidy. Lawrence and I will catch cab.
It's really a shame we didn't have more time to really get acquainted. I think maybe we could strike it off together here.
Maybe.
Well, I'll be seeing you again sometime.
Oh. One more minute of that chatter and I'd have gone crazy. Let's grab a cab, Lawrence.
I'm not going.
What?
I'm not going into town yet.
Suit yourself, but I am. See you later.
Yeah.
Oh, what a trip. It's my luck to sit next to somebody that tries to drown you with a lot of nonsensical chatter.
Oh, cab. Hey, taxi. Give me a lift into town, will you?
No, Mr. Hoffman.
I've never heard so much talk in my life.
That's nothing, mister. You should have to drive a cab like me. Sometimes when I pick up a load of dames and they get to Gavin, I can't even hear myself think, let alone listen to see if my meter's ticking off the fare.
I imagine you do have some passengers that nearly drive you out of your mind, especially a load of godly women.
You're right there, mister. Why, sometimes I'm tempted to stop right in the middle of the street.
Hey, look out, driver. That cab's crowding you.
Hey,
he's trying to sideswipe it.
Why, that dirty numbskull forcing me into the ditch deliberately, too. If I'd have gotten his number, I'd see he never drove a cab again.
What? It was Lawrence Kramer. I saw him in the back seat of that cab. Lawrence deliberately tried to wreck us. But why? Why?
How should I know why? Look, mister, you might as well grab your suitcase and start thumbing.
Start thumbing? But your cab's not damaged.
And it's not gonna be either, mister. I don't know who you are or what your business is, but your acquaintance ain't healthy. Someone's after you, and I ain't aiming to get involved any more than I am. You don't owe me nothing. I consider myself lucky to be alive. All I'm saying is take your suitcase and get to town the best way you can. I'm through.
Confused and bewildered, George climbed from the cab as the driver pulled off quickly without him. He stood at the side of the road, awkwardly trying to thumb for a ride. Almost an hour passed before a car drew up beside him, and he was on his way into town. The Hotel Claremont was easy to find. It was an ordinary hotel with the usual murmur of voices and the steady drone of activity in the lobby. George made his way straight for the clerk's desk. You have a reservation, Mr. George Brandt, please?
Why, we did have, sir.
What do you mean you did have?
Mr. Brandt picked it up an hour ago.
He what?
Mr. Brandt checked in an hour ago. Is there any message, sir?
That's impossible. I'm George Brandt.
You're George Brandt? Come now, please, sir. I'm very busy.
No, but I am George Brandt. Here, look, I've proven to you. I've got identification papers here somewhere. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I thought they were in this pocket. Oh, they're gone. Somebody's stolen my papers.
Yes, sir. Maybe you forgot and left them at home.
Well, how could I have left them in Chicago? I had to have my papers to get on that plane. I tell you, somebody's stolen my papers.
Please, sir, you'll have to keep your voice lower. Attracting undue attention in the lobby.
Oh, I'm sorry. But all of a sudden, without cause or reason, everything seems wrong. Strangest things have been happening to me ever since I arrived at the airport. Where's the public phone, clerk?
To your right, sir.
Edgar will be able to straighten out this mess.
me down yonder?
You reserve this room for me, and he can prove to this clerk that I'm the one who...
Good evening. Beachwood apartment.
Oh, hello. Edgar Thompson's apartment, please.
Who's calling?
George Brandt.
Oh, yes, Mr. Brandt. Has Mr. Thompson arrived at the hotel yet?
No. Well, that is, I wouldn't know.
Well, he should have. He left here 45 minutes ago to meet you. Right after you called him.
After I called him?
Yes, sir. First he phoned Miss Julia Kramer and asked her to meet him in your room at the Claremont. He should be there now. He left within 5 minutes of your call, and it only takes 10 minutes.
But I never called him.
Mr. Brandt, is there something wrong? I was on duty when you called.
Well, you're most certainly right. There is something wrong, and I mean to find out what... Clerk!
Yes, sir?
Where's Edgar Thompson? I just called his apartment. They say he came here.
Mr. Thompson called Mr. Brandt's room from the lobby a half hour ago and then took the elevator up. I presume that he's with Mr. Brandt.
Now, wait a minute. That's impossible. I'm right here.
May I suggest, sir, that perhaps you're ill?
Are you intimating that I might be out of my mind?
No, sir. It's just that... Well, perhaps you might not feel well, sir, and it may have distorted things.
And I'm not suffering from amnesia. I tell you, I'm George Brandt, and you're supposed to have a room reservation for me.
We did have a reservation for a Mr. George Brandt, and as I said, Mr. Brandt arrived an hour ago and picked up the reservation. Now, here's the register. You can see for yourself.
Oh, well, and somebody else signed my name, then. I didn't.
It's about three quarters of the way down the page.
Oh, Leonard Burnett, John Wilson, Carl Snow, Kaplan, Xavier Travis, Kramer. Lawrence Kramer. Room 502. Well, maybe he's the one behind all this. This is Sully Brandt. George Brandt.
Yes, sir.
Room 316. Well, it can't be. That's not true.
You still don't believe it, sir?
Well, I don't know what to believe. Not only does it show that George Brandt registered for the room an hour ago, but that signature on the register, the handwriting. That's my signature, and in my own handwriting.
Mystified by the strange web encircling him, George went up to the third floor, determined to face the imposter.
Room 316, the register said. Oh. Hello?
Hello?
Well, this is room 316, isn't it?
Yes, but there doesn't seem to be anyone in. I was supposed to meet my fiancé here at Mr. Brandt's room, but...
Well, I'm George Brandt.
Oh, you are? Well, I'm Julia Kramer. Edgar called and asked me to meet him here with you. I couldn't imagine what had happened when no one answered my knocking. Well, we might as well go in.
Well, I haven't any key.
Incidentally, you left the door unlocked when you stepped out. Started to open when I first knocked. You shouldn't do that in hotels now. Isn't safe. Yep. I'll flip on the light switch.
Oh. Kramer, what happened?
What the deuce did I stumble over?
Well, wait a minute. Here's the light switch.
Oh. Edgar. It's Edgar.
He's been strangled with an electric cord.
Oh, Edgar. No.
You know, whoever killed Edgar made a mistake.
What sort of a mistake? What do you mean?
They meant to kill me.
Why would they want to kill you?
Whoever it was probably mistook Edgar for me. Someone's been after me ever since I arrived here in town. They sideswiped my cab and stole my hotel room. And now they've committed murder.
But where were you, Mr. Brandt? Why did you let them kill Edgar?
What are you talking about? I wasn't here. I haven't even been able to get into the hotel.
Look. In his hand. A letter folder. It isn't his. It's a clue.
Why, that's mine.
What?
My missing credentials.
Your papers, Mr. Brandt. In Edgar's hand.
Yes.
Then it was you who murdered Edgar.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I've never even been in this room before.
Then how did these papers get here? How can you explain that if you've never been in this room before?
Those papers were stolen from me on the plane.
Do you expect me to believe that? You killed him. You came back this time to get these papers. They were evidence of your crime.
You called Edgar to this room. Told me so himself. You called him here to kill him.
I didn't kill him.
You did.
You've got to believe me, Miss Kramer. Somebody must.
Carl.
I don't know. Everything is wrong. First, I'm not George Brandt, and I'm treated as an imposter. And now that there's been a murder, you're only too happy to say that I am George Brandt and a killer. Well, what have I done to
you
get into...
You killed a man, Mr. Brandt.
Now, look, Julia.
Do you expect me to believe your lies when my hands hold the proof? You killed a man I love. And the night before our wedding.
Julia.
Is it your wedding present?
Julia.
You want to come back now to claim more blood into growth.
Stop it. Why should I kill Edgar? Why?
That's what I want to know, Mr. Grant. It couldn't be jealousy. Why did you? Why? Why did you kill
him? I didn't kill him. I told you those identification papers were stolen. Wait. Wait a minute. Now I see. Lawrence.
Lawrence? My brother?
Yes, your brother. He's the only one who knew about the wedding and had the chance to steal my papers. Lawrence killed Edgar in my room, hoping to plant the killing on me.
Then you admit this is your room.
No, I don't admit it. It was supposed to be, but I never got it. Your brother saw that I was a little accident, and now you're trying to protect
me. Lawrence had nothing to do with it. He's in Chicago.
No. He's right here in town. He came on the same plane that I did.
That's not true. He'd have told me he was coming.
It was supposed to be a surprise for you. Edgar planned it all and arranged for Lawrence to come with me. Besides, Lawrence wouldn't warn you he intended to kill your fiancé. That is, unless both of you...
No.
And that isn't all. Edgar was going to give Lawrence a job and keep him here in Dayton. And this is the way that brother of yours shows his appreciation. By murder.
It's not true. You hate my brother.
I certainly do.
Lawrence never did anything to you, Mr. Brandt. And you didn't kill Edgar. You strangled Edgar. And now you're trying to blame Lawrence, knowing it'll look bad for him because of his police record. But you can't get away with it, you hear?
Why should you want to protect your brother? Hasn't he caused you enough trouble? And now he's added murder to his record.
He hasn't. Lawrence wouldn't kill anyone. He couldn't. He's not in town. I know he isn't.
You don't have to believe me. Call the desk clerk and ask. He'll tell you your brother's registered in the hotel. Well, go ahead. Call him.
All right, I will. Hello. Hello, desk clerk, please. Desk clerk, this is Julia Kramer. I'm in George Brandt's room. Mr. Brandt's here now. And he murdered Edgar Thompson. Help! Please send the police!
Hey, you double-crossing! Give me a
phone! Help! Help, please! Oh, can I get away with this? You can't. You murderer!
I'm getting out.
George hurried down the hall, racking his brain for a way to halt the dizzy, unhinged series of events that seemed destined to prove him a murderer. Then... he had an inspiration to find Lawrence Kramer. He dashed upstairs to Lawrence's floor.
There must be an explanation to this incredible situation. The girl, she doesn't seem like a murderer's accomplice, and yet she's Lawrence's sister. And he's capable of anything. I've got to stop that fellow before he and his sister can get away with this. Let's see now, what's his room number? 502, that's it. Let's see, 512, 8, 4. Here it is, 502. Now, Lawrence Kramer, we'll get to the bottom of this.
Come in, Brad.
Alex Cassidy? What are you doing here?
Waiting for you, Brandt.
For me? But where's Lawrence?
I don't know. He was out when I came in a couple of minutes ago. Come on in, Brandt, and close the door. I figured you'd be coming here. Now that I've figured right, I'm glad Lawrence isn't here.
So you and Lawrence aren't strangers. That was an act on the plane.
Sure. As soon as you left, we both got into a cab and followed you. Then I had your cab forced into the ditch so I'd have time to get to the hotel first and take your room.
I might have known it wasn't Lawrence. He couldn't have registered for my room and his own at the same time. Besides, well, Lawrence isn't smart enough to plan a murder like Edgar's.
Murder? So you found the body, too?
Right where you and Lawrence left it, Mr. Cassidy.
Lawrence didn't have anything to do with it. He doesn't even know I rubbed the guy out. He thinks I just came down here to sort of surprise Julia at the wedding.
You even know her name. You know about the wedding. Well, now I'm beginning to see. You forged my name on the hotel register.
Sure, Brad. Perfect, too, wasn't it?
You see, Lawrence was arrested once for passing checks forged by someone else. Julia threw over her former fiancé in Chicago because he was doing some crooked work. Oh, it all fits together beautifully, Cassidy. You were Julia's former fiancé, and when you heard of the wedding, you came down here and killed Edgar.
Sure, no guy's going to take Alex Cassidy's girl and get away with it. What's more, that cheap Romeo partner of yours thought he could fast-talk Lawrence out of my control by giving him a job here. Sure, I know all about it. Lawrence blew his top trying to play the big shot. That's the trouble with the kid. He's too dumb to know when to keep his mouth shut. How does it feel, Brant, to be wearing a frame around your neck?
What do you mean?
When the cops see your signature on the register and find those papers of yours I planted in Edgar's hand, well, they'll want George Brant for this murder. Yes, sir, Brant, you're looking at one guy that done murder and is going to get away with it.
A very neat plan, Mr. Cassidy. But I don't think it will work.
Lawrence.
Yeah. And don't get any ideas about easing out the door. There's a real live gun I've got here.
Well, Lawrence, how did you ever...
Mr. Cassidy is just a little bit surprised to find me in my own room, George. Aren't you, Mr. Cassidy?
Yes.
You didn't think to look for me in the clothes closet when you came in, did you, Cassidy? Well, maybe I am too dumb to keep my mouth shut. And I've been dumb in the past to stay along with you.
You're flying off the handle, kid.
I'm not a kid, Cassidy. I've been pretty dumb, I admit, in my time. But not so dumb that I didn't know something was haywire when you forged Mr. Brandt's name so you could get his room.
Now, look, Lawrence, you've got this all wrong.
That wasn't done just to give Julia a surprise. So I got suspicious, Cassidy. So I trailed you. I trailed you to Mr. Brandt's room.
You didn't.
And you know what I saw there, don't you, Mr. Cassidy?
You cheap tin horn of
Medley. You saw him strangle Edgar?
Sure. And I wasn't having nothing to do with a murder rap. Especially when it involved Mr. Thompson and Julia. Stand where you are, Cassidy. They're the only two people in the whole world who ever wanted to give me a chance. I wanted that chance, see? No one was going to take that chance away from me. Not even you, Cassidy.
I'll call the police.
Okay, George. You see, Cassidy, I figured you'd come to my room, probably with Julia. So I hid in the closet and I heard every word you said.
Look, Lauren.
Yes, Mr. Brant?
You go find Julia. She needs you. Tell her everything's all right. And don't worry about that job Edgar offered you. As controlling partner in the business, I promise you that that job is yours.
From shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell. Strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubt and fear. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
That's our strange tale for this week. Want to hear more from this series, more from Strange Tales, more old time radio? Just visit relicradio.com. You'll find everything linked to right on the front page. All the podcasts, links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Certainly appreciate it. It's the only way we keep going. Thank you very much to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Sunday with an episode from Author's Playhouse and a brand new episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales. Strange Tales is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Any rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.